Good morning, everyone. One of the things that I found so exciting when you are doing ministry is how God can work perfectly through two separate people. And every single song that Val has chosen this morning has been really relevant to what I'm going to say. And we didn't communicate, but God has worked through the two of us. So I just find that so exciting and amazing. We're going to have a look at a subject this morning that we spend a lot of time at Easter looking at, but not a lot of time at the rest of the year looking at. And we're going to look at resurrection. But we're not going to look at it just as the Easter story. We're going to look at how this develops right through our Bible. It's so central that the whole theme goes right the way through the Bible. So I'm going to ask for the first Bible verse to go up, or Bible passage to go up, and we're looking at 1 Kings 17, 17 to 24. And it reads, "Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, 'What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?' 'Give me your son,' Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, 'O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?' Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, 'O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him.' The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived." Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, 'Look, your son is alive.' Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth.'" This is the story in Elijah, in Kings, when they're looking at the prophet Elijah, and he stays with a widow. And the widow has a son, and he dies. Now, some commentators have suggested, and I think they might be right from the way the passage reads, that this child had literally just died. And it could have been, if he had been today in a modern hospital like the Mayday, that they could have resuscitated him by modern medicine. They could have used a defibrillator. They could have used the adrenaline and all the other drugs and things that they can do. And this young boy could have been resuscitated. I'm using resuscitated quite deliberately, and you'll see why later. We mustn't undermine this miracle, though. We're talking about 3,500 years ago, when they didn't even have any understanding of the function of the heart or the lungs, the blood circulation, and anything really about the systems that keep the body going. So this really was a miracle of bringing this boy alive. However, we have to keep in mind that had it been today, God may not have had to have done a miracle. He may have been able to use those with medical knowledge to have resuscitated him. Let's move on a little bit further. Let's move on into John 11, 38 to 44. Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across its entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." So here we have the story of Lazarus. I expect many of you will know it, if not all of you. And of course, Lazarus died and Jesus was elsewhere. And so he had to go to where Lazarus had died. And by the time he arrived, Lazarus had been buried for 4 days. Even by modern standards, Lazarus was dead. He was well and truly dead. There was nothing that anybody could have done. Doctors couldn't have done anything. Hospitals couldn't have done anything at this stage. He really was dead. But Jesus resuscitated Lazarus. Now I use that word deliberately again, resuscitated. Because actually, and this is a very, very important point to note, that what the boy that Elijah rose and Lazarus, they were raised to life again, but they were raised in their mortal bodies. And of course, the story of Lazarus is a foretaste of what was to come. We're going to have a little look at that in a minute. It was a foretaste of what was going to happen in quite a short period of time. But he was raised in his mortal body. The Bible doesn't actually tell us what happened to Lazarus. We're left to assume that he lived a normal human lifespan, that he went through the aging process is the same as us. And at some point later on, he died again. We don't see on the BBC News interviews from a man just over 2,500 years old being interviewed. Lazarus is no longer with us. So at some stage, we have to assume that he naturally died. Let's move on again. Let's move on to Luke 24:13-16. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. This was on the road to Emmaus. Two of the disciples were walking along, chatting to each other about everything that had happened. Jesus had been crucified. There was talk of him being raised again. It was all very confusing for his disciples. And then suddenly, this other person appears. This third person. I didn't know who he was. Who is this person? And then suddenly, they recognized it was Jesus. When Jesus was raised to life again, when he was resurrected, he was resurrected in his immortal body. So can you start to see the progression of the Bible on this theme? We've got a young boy that, had he been alive today, doctors might have been able to resuscitate him. We've got Lazarus. You know, there's nothing anyone could have done, but Jesus raised him in his immortal body. And then we have Jesus himself, who was raised to life in his immortal body. He was going to live, or will live, for eternity. Unlike Lazarus, who we know has at some point died again, Jesus is alive today. He is alive with us today. And we've been singing this morning of all the things that he is and all the things that he does for us. Let's go on to the final reading, Revelation 21, 1 to 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The hope that we have is that Christ will come back again. He will return. And we will all be resurrected. Not in our old and mortal bodies that are aging and decaying, but in our immortal bodies that will live forever, that will live eternally. And that actually we will live in a new heaven and a new earth. This old earth will pass away. We will have a lovely, beautiful, new earth. And the earth that is today is decaying and being destroyed slowly will be a new one that will last forever. So we go from a young boy who maybe in a modern hospital, could have been resuscitated, right through to everybody being raised for eternity. It's quite exciting, really, isn't it? What we can see by looking at this theme, of this almost evolving theme through the Bible, that the Bible isn't simply a collection of 66 books that got randomly put together or thrown together. It's a book that is a one complete story of man's history and future. It hangs together, and no book is in isolation to the other books. They all fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. They all work together. And when you look at a Bible, you look at the Bible, you must think of how it fits in with everything else that's in there. By looking at this evolving theme of resurrection, it motivates us to share the gospel, because we start to understand what we're really sharing. God not only raises us to life, he opens our spiritual lives. He brings us spiritually alive again. I know a lot of you are studying being fruitful on the front line. The reason we share the gospel with people is because they can, A, come into this new eternal life, but actually they can start to benefit now, this minute, from the fact that Christ is alive and we can turn to him. It's not going to be a bed of roses. We still have problems and issues. We still have the problems of an aging, decaying body. We may still have financial problems, family problems, work problems, all the problems that life throws at us. But we have Jesus walking by our side every step of the way. We have Jesus with us every step of the way. And we can share that with our friends, our neighbours, our work colleagues. If we're part of organisations, we can share it with people. So I encourage you to think this morning, who could I share the gospel with? Who am I in contact with? Where do I go that is in darkness? And I want to leave you with that thought this morning. Who could I share what I know in my heart to be true? Who could I share the gospel with? Let's pray. And maybe in this little time of prayer, you could think about who you can share the gospel with. And maybe say a quick prayer now. Lord, we come to your throne, your mighty throne. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you that he rose from the dead, that he didn't remain in the grave. He rose, Lord. He gave us all eternal life. And we have a lovely future to look forward to. But Lord, we pray for those who are still in darkness, who don't know your name. Help us, Lord, to share your gospel as we go out of this church today, as we go back to work, go back to friends, go back to clubs and organisations, go back to family. We pray, Lord, that we have the opportunities to share your gospel. And we pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.